Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
I know, can you believe it?
What's that?
Since we respawned,
yeah.
Press X to continue the podcast.
Yeah.
Did you know we've now done 100 episodes?
Oh, snap! Hey!
That's a milestone that feels like celebrating. So listen,
oh, that's a wicked milestone. Hey, you know, most podcasts, they die after 10 episodes.
We're clinging on.
We're still there.
So listen, massive thank you from us. For everybody that's listened, that's liked, that's commented, that's shared, that's done all of the things you're supposed to do right now.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you so much. Big up all the XCBs. Big up the continued clubbers. Stefan, it's been a journey, you know. We've been recording in different places. I've moved house. You've moved house.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's all changed. You've been on a national tour. I've got a posh new job. It's all kicking off. So listen, massive thank you to all of you that's listened. Huge thank you as well to all of the amazing guests. Look at the guest list we have on Press X to continue.
It's long.
It's so good. So thank you everybody that's been on, and a big shout out as well to the brains behind the scenes of the podcast. They know who they are, who keep the show on the road, keep things ticking over. We appreciate your work every single day. And Einel, thank you, my friend.
Hey, thank you. And here's to our 100 more.
Hello.
Just when you thought it was safe to open up your podcast app again, here we are with another Press X to continue. There you are, just minding your own business, and suddenly you're being bombarded with how Stefan Powell once beat Time Crisis 2 for a pound. He didn't tell the whole story, Stefan. We know what you're up to with those tempies. Or hot takes like Metal Gear Solid being no better than Frogger. We might have embellished that one. I am Frankie Ward, unfortunately. But with me, fortunately, is the actor and streamer Einel Tomlinson. Hey, How are you doing, Einel?
Thank you for having me back, Frankie, on your Continue Club session.
Oh, well, yes, thank you. Yeah, it's my show now. Stefan is not coming back. He will be back. Don't worry, everyone, but please do keep listening. It's our newest member of the Continue Club esports hosting gamer, Barney Banks. He's back. Hello, Barney.
Thank you for having me back. I'm trying to redeem my trivia, pathetic trivia knowledge, let's call it, but excited to be back. Thank you for having me. Let's do this.
Do you know what? I'd love to hear Barney like do some like esports commentary over like a Mario Party session. That's
like, Mario Party. I recently had a little like gathering of mates at my house, and we did like a Wii competition Wii golf. Oh, we yeah. popped off on Wii golf. It was amazing.
Wii golf. I love that. Yeah. So the gentleman used to go to the golfing course to walk around and sink some pints and do 11 holes or whatever it is that they do on these things. But you guys do it from the comfort of your own living room.
Yes, we do.
A console that came out in like 2000.
Should have filmed it.
I'll stream it next time for you.
Hashtag for the content. We are starting the show, as always, with our unsung hero games. These are games that didn't get the plaudits they deserved, so we're giving them a platform now to celebrate them. And kicking us off this week, we've got Einel in the spotlight. What do you want to spotlight, Einel?
Now, listen. This game is number 3 in a franchise. However, it was seen as like the bastard child of the three. Now, the game
is it Crazy Taxi 3.
Can you imagine? Now, this game is absolutely epic, but it didn't get the recognition it deserved when it came out. It took 8 years to make. Like, controversially, there was a lot of like developer issues and publisher issues with what was going on, but it, the engine that it was based on, like, spawned off so many of the biggest video games we've ever seen. That game is Max Payne 3.
Oh.
Max Payne 3, a lot of people, unsung, absolutely incredible game. Let me tell you, the first game that you played, no loading screens from the get-go. As soon as you start, no loading screens, unless you die, like in God of War stuff, and you can play the entire game through all the way, you don't see a loading screen. Every loading screen is disguised with different cutscenes and elements and stuff like that. There's no loading. There's always narration going on. There's always something to look at going on. The story is always progressing and moving forward. Boom. The first 10 minutes of the game, you don't even play. It's just 10-minute cutscene. As soon as you turn it on, 10-minute cutscene, setting up the game, setting up the lore, letting you know where we are.
So in other words, without Max Payne 3, we'd have no Death Stranding.
We wouldn't.
Sorry. And you're also, so excited, I know, about this.
This game engine was the basis for GTA 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2. It's the same engine that they use, but it was Max Payne that built it. When you think about, oh yeah, how good is that combat in those games? Yeah, it's great. It was because of Max Payne.
Wow. But why? So the third game specifically because it didn't get as much love as the first
didn't
two
get a lot
because
of, love.
Of the loading
love.
Initiatives and the game engine.
Didn't get a lot of critical love at all. A lot of the fans didn't like it because Max Payne was like seen as a gritty New York noir kind of dark, like graphic novel kind of game. Whereas Max Payne 3 was not the opposite of that, but it was set in like in Brazil. Well, some of the missions were set in Brazil. It was quite sunny. It was like bright. I think most of the missions took place during the day. And in terms of like that graphic novel, in terms of the comic strips that they used in the first two games, got rid of that for like a cinematic kind of artsy kind of stylistic way of presenting the story. And so a lot of people hated that. Like, what? They've changed everything that Remedy did. No, don't like it. Hate it. And the critics, they didn't like it as well.
How
they
fickle are
exactly
we as
the same.
Sorry, I'm like, how fickle are we? It's like, it's sunny. No, I'm not buying it. No. Like, really? Like, we're so spoiled.
Oh, good
oh my
times.
Goodness. Sorry for jumping
across. It's New York noir, darlings. It's New York Coca Cola.
Can't even say it right.
So, but what else did you enjoy about it? So you liked being able to walk around in the day as Max Payne. Yeah. In terms of the emotional story, do you think that that was something that people needed to give a chance? Did it grab you, tug at your heartstrings?
Oh, totally. As I said, like the first 10 minutes, you don't even play the game. You just turn it on. You don't even see like a title screen. It doesn't give you the title screen the first time you boot it up. It goes straight into like the first cutscene, 10 minutes, setting you up. Who is Max Payne? And 5 minutes of that 10 minutes is Max in his flat, drinking alone, narrating about how depressed he is, how his life has been turned upside down. He's lost his wife. He's lost his baby. Like he's been chased around the criminal underworld. He's lost his job. And he's basically just an alcoholic, just like drinking himself stupid. And like, that's the first 5 minutes. You're just watching this guy just drink himself crazy in his flat. And that's setting up the game. And then it's like, right, now we get put into a mission. Like now he's been pulled out of retirement. One of his past friends has hooked him up with a new bodyguard job in Brazil. All right, okay. He flies out there and then all of a sudden something goes wrong. And the people that he's supposed to be protecting have been kidnapped when he was supposed to be on job and he's drunk. Oh, let's go.
I think just from that glorious recap, most people stop watching after 5 minutes. Because they came for some video game escapism and they were confronted with a mirror for their own lives.
The emotional investment was I was in with you just then, I know.
Thanks,
I was there.
Man. Thanks,
you
man.
Painted a picture.
Controller in one hand, like Stella in the other. They just looked down and went, I think that
how
this is an intervention.
The
well, that's why they were playing Max Payne, because it was like bullet time. So just press R2 or whatever. Drink. get back to it. But one of the, it was like, an intervention of the for these things players.
I will always remember from that game is whenever you're in a fighting shooting scenario, the last enemy in that scenario that you kill, it will always be a slow motion kill. So like wherever you shoot the bullet will slow down. You see the bullet goes and then hit them wherever you shot them. And what the game does, you can just keep pressing the trigger and it will empty the clip. And it, even though the camera's not on you and you can't see where you're aiming, every single bullet will hit. So just to make you feel badass. And so you'll be just... every single time you can do that. Because the game just says, yeah, just go at it. Empty the clip.
That felt quite Brazilian carnival then. Less platoon, more samba. You know what? Because Stefan's not here, I can actually read a fact from producer David. Because apparently James Bond Nightfire didn't have any loading screens either. And normally we're not allowed to talk about that game because Stefan wouldn't last. But he's not here right now. He's sick. And whose fault is that? As I said in the last episode, his children's. When Steph's not here, David, you're not banned about talking about that game. However, I've not played it, so we're not going to talk about it anymore. I've rebanned it.
Done. Rebanned.
Would you play this game, Barney, if you're given the opportunity? Max Payne 3? Did you play it the first time around?
The picture has been painted. I am fully invested. But no, I didn't actually play any of the Max Payne games. But I do love a cinematic game. I like it when they kind of sprinkle in something like that when... you know, a cinematic ending to a shot. I think there was was it Ghost Recon that did something similar with, like, if you did a headshot sniper, it slow motioned it and it showed the bullet going through the head and stuff like that. Stuff like that.
Imagine
I like
that
all that input.
Constantly.
They do that in Sniper Elite, obviously, as well, which is satisfying. I won't lie.
Exactly. Very satisfying.
It celebrates the gratuitous violence that you've just bestowed upon all the people in the game.
Finish him.
Yeah, exactly. Who wants a friendship where you can have a fatality? From the Discord, Owen has nominated Dungeon Keeper as an unsung hero. It might have reviewed well and sold lots, but I demand more presence in the 2026 Discord, Owen says. I think I hear about Dungeon Keeper every other week. I swear people are always talking about how much they love Dungeon Keeper right now.
Do you know what? I think it's because they tried to bring it back. I think it was like some sort of weird mobile port, I think. I don't think it was the original developers. Because it was, wasn't it Bullfrog? What's the guy's name? It used to be the Fable creator. Peter Molyneux. It's Peter Molyneux.
Yes. He was at New Game Plus the other week chatting. Yeah.
There you go. Was he at 22 Cans? That's it? That's his new company?
I don't actually know. I should have sat down and listened to the talk, but I was too busy queuing for... computer games.
I really like listening to him speak. I know a lot of people hate it because every time he speaks, talks about his games, he like talks about elements that aren't in the game. The dev teams hear him speaking. They're like, well, we didn't put that in the game. And then now they have to put it in the game.
as a
punter, it's fantastic to hear like developers kind of just like gush about their own games.
And yeah, you are right, though. I know it is 22 Cans. Obviously, Peter's doing market research. He just sees how people interact with the ideas he's throwing out there, and then he puts them into the game. It's actually genius. I want to test your genius now because it's time for some trivia. I brought my own music to the last episode and then saw that on the script it says trivia jingle, and I have actually done this show before. I just don't like listening to myself. If you've got a nugget of gaming trivia you'd like to throw in the mix for this part of the show, you can get in touch with our team via Discord. Only the producers can see the trivia submissions channel, so you can guarantee that me and I now and Steph and the guests aren't cheating. It doesn't have to be a fully formed question. But we want something that we're not going to know.
Yeah, just the facts.
Yeah, we just want the facts, okay? We want to bring people down a peg or two on the leaderboard, unless you're Keza McDonald, in which case we respect Keza very much and bow to their authority. So, are you ready for your question?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Why was the game Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess flipped horizontally when it was ported from GameCube to the Wii?
Oh, I think I do know this. I think it was something to do with Link being left-handed in the game, but most people hold the Wii remote with the right hand. So they were like, oh, we're going to have to switch it because most people play on that side, so they just mirrored the entire thing. They're just like, yeah, mirror it. That's easy.
When it's flipped horizontally, I just realized what that. It doesn't mean upside down. It means mirrored, right?
No, yeah, it just means left and right.
I think it means mirrored. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, mirrored. Yeah, because I was like, hang on a second. They played it in portrait mode.
Yeah, man, we're all playing it on mobile phones now.
Fred, you need to come off of TikTok now. You need to come off of TikTok.
Listen, Instagram is constantly changing what it wants from me, and currently it's photos in 4:3, so that's how I think these days. Zelda in 4:3, glorious. So, Barney, are you on the same page as I now here? Have you got any other ideas?
I have a horrible, horrible confession to make. Don't and have never played a Zelda game.
That's all good.
I know.
Bro.
It's a horrible confession. It's not good. It's not good. I know how bad it is.
But you had an N64.
I did. And just I just didn't get Zelda.
What were you playing on an N64?
Too busy playing the WWF games.
Oh, yeah, well, to be fair.
World Cup 98, GoldenEye. Race.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Never apologize if you were playing Wave Race.
Zelda just never was. I don't know. I don't think my friends played it either.
I haven't heard any Banjo Kazooie in there, Barney.
I actually didn't. Diddy Kong Racing took up too much of my time.
So it's all good.
Banjo's in it. It's true. So this is the thing. I am going to do what INL did with me last episode, and I'm gonna just go with what Inel says. Commit together.
The last time I was this horrified was when I was doing this in-store thing for at Intel, and some like 20-year-old told me that like Phantom Menace was a really important film for him, I actually said to him, "Did you have a deprived childhood, and do you need to talk about it?"
Oh wow. Maybe they had Jar Jar Binks.
I do feel like Barney, you did have some great games on N64, but you didn't play Ocarina of Time, and that's so strange to me.
I bought Tears of the Kingdom as well, and then I didn't play it.
A father and you don't have time for that.
Exactly.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. It's cool.
Don't apologize.
But I totally understand the importance of the game and why it wins. You know, it did one game of the year, Tears of Kingdom, didn't it? Or something. Breath of the Wild, sorry. Yeah. So okay. It's just.
She's digging a hole now.
There was somewhere out there. A fairy has lost its wings or something. The fairy friend Nick. What was he called? It wasn't called Nyx. That's Star Wars again. So anyway, you've got a fairy friend in like Ocarina of Time or something. Navi's dead now. So let's talk about what your answer is going to be, Barn.
Yeah, my answer is going to be because Link's left-handed.
There you go. Okay, fine. I'm just going to agree with you guys.
Is this sword in the left hand then, I'm guessing, I know?
I think shield it's because of how he held the sword that they flipped it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll find out later on the show if we were all right, or specifically if Aina was right and me and Barney were right to copy him. Don't forget, though, right now, Barney, you are 16th on the leaderboard, along with hundreds of other people. I'm 12th, and Aina is a horrific sixth place. He went down after last week's episode getting the answer wrong.
It is what it is.
Oh, and apparently on the last recording, Stefan was wrongly credited with being third. He's actually second on the leaderboard.
Oh, what?
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. He's got sick points.
But guess what? Right. Crouching is in Breath of the Wild. So half a point. Is. I'll take half a point for that. It is.
I don't think that's how it works, but that's okay. Damn it. I hate to break that for you.
Second place.
Listen, guys, we've got a topic to discuss from the Discord, okay? Because Sean has been in touch and has said the recent discussion about games to play on trains brought up the Switch as an example, but it's not ideal if you have to stand and hold onto a rail on a busy train. Are there any games that you can play one-handed on mobile? Any suggestions there, Barney? You're a mobile. Hang on a second. I should come to you first, Barney, because you're a mobile gaming expert. So what are your recommendations?
If you were leaning into the Supercell side of things, I think you can play Clash Royale one-handed. Fair play.
Because it's a card game, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, you hold it upright. Clash of Clans, slightly harder because you play it horizontally. So that's harder. Brawl Stars, definitely not. So I'd say Clash Royale. My only gripe is that I know that we have sophisticated internet connection now, but you're required to be on the internet because it's online play. Mm. My go-to for mobile games, actually, funny enough, is just another variation of that legendary game that King created, Candy Crush. Yeah. But I played a Family Guy one, and it's called Another Freaking Mobile Game. And it is great. I'm currently on level 1,459. And it's made by Jam City. And it's a pretty good game. It's just, it's Candy Crush, but Family Guy with a Family Guy twist. So you play as if you play as Quagmire, you got to line up the condoms.
Amazing. Wow, it's teaching you about safe sex as well, apparently. You got to line them up. That's how it works, guys. Otherwise, children happen. I think I'm 12-19 on Candy Crush, so I would definitely recommend Candy Crush. I once had someone on a tube, this is before I even worked in gaming, saw that I was obviously a veteran of the sport, and asked me to complete her level. She literally handed me her mobile device and asked me to try and do the level for her. I failed.
Damn.
I've never had that happen.
I only had
someone
90
just
seconds.
Hey, take it.
Yeah, right. It was like some kind of sketch. It was like the music was playing, the roar of the central line as we headed into White City, heralding me to greatness. And then I failed and had to get off the train and go work at the BBC. So that was good days, good times. Einar, have you got any recommendations that come to mind?
Yeah, outside of Candy Crush, because I'm a big fan. I've mentioned it on the podcast before. Konami's Pixel Puzzle Collection, which is basically Picross that you can play like one-handed, but all the pictures that you make are all like pixel art from Konami games from like the early NES days all the way to the future. So it, like that's what I've played, and it's free to play as well. Outside of that, all the other mobile games I can think of, they're all like play landscape. And so it's like, yeah, you need to hold on to something. Can't play.
Yeah. I always just recommend looking at things like Netflix, not just for videos that you could watch on a busy train, but Netflix games. They often have a lot of games on there. Like I think the Queen's Gambit chess game people absolutely love.
Oh,
so
Monument
it's definitely
Valley
worth
as
those.
Well.
Monument Valley,
there.
There you go. So
Subway Surfer.
Have a look.
I remember that.
Perfect. You know what? I want Super Meat Boy Forever. I'm pretty sure you could probably try. I've never played it on a mobile, but it is literally button pressing just A and a direction. So actually, you probably would need two hands for that one.
Super Mario Run? Is it like that?
Think so. I've never played Super Mario Run, but it is an auto runner, Super Meat Boy. Yeah. So the second one, Super Meat Boy Forever. And it got criticized actually for basically playing like a mobile game, but I genuinely really enjoy the game and it's incredibly difficult. So as long as you're not someone who's prone to swearing in public, it might be one to try out. Now we've got another question from Johnny VR. I love Assassin's Creed and Black Flag was amazing. I feel like we never give accents to the people in the Discord. And I just, this is where it will be useful for Einar to do this.
I love
Assassin's Creed and Black Flag was amazing. But after watching the worldwide reveal of Resynced, I can't help but feel it falls under the unnecessary remaster umbrella. I would have thought that people were more excited for the mainline game. Heze, success or flop? Is there an audience for this remake? Or is it not going to sell well? I don't know why I went over the card at the end.
Can you read all the
next one's got to be Scottish.
Yeah,
okay. I can't do Scottish. I wish I could. I couldn't even do that. I now.
I enjoyed it. I don't know what you said. I'm going to have to read back what the question was. I wasn't listening to anything you were saying.
Is Black Flag the remaster going to sell well? I know. That's what Johnny wants to know.
I think all Assassin's Creed games sell well in the grand scheme of things, always in the millions. And so like in terms of selling well, yes, whether it's needed, it's only been about 10 years since Black Flag, something like that. 11, 12 years. It's not been that long. And I think because it's not the full package. It doesn't have all like the DLC campaigns and stuff as well. It's slightly a bit, otherwise if it was like the deluxe remaster, all the DLC, revamped visuals, everything, I'd be like, yeah, I'm in. The fact is, it's kind of like a remake-ish, where it's got some of the stuff in there. They've expanded on some stuff, but they've taken a lot of things out. And so I'm like, whether I want to go back or not, I don't know.
Do you want to go back, Barney? Did you play the original Black Flag?
I feel very strongly about this. Right? Oh. So Assassin's Creed is my favorite and possibly also least favorite franchise. They just, it's such a hit and such a miss every year. Mm. That it's either an absolutely phenomenal game. And like I said in the previous podcast, I'm a movement guy. Assassin's Creed was like, oh my God, like yeah. we can climb buildings. It's parkour. There's assassinations. This is like my favorite thing ever. So this is honestly my favorite franchise. Black Flag, I think, was possibly the best game that they made. So yeah, if there was yeah. any to remaster, remaster that one. So that's the only kind of bit that I'm happy about. I find remastering games lazy. I find it frustrating. I think there needs to be a year cap on how long it's been since the game was released to when you're allowed to remaster it. Mm. I think it's got to be like 20 years.
Yes.
Because we're getting too much of it. Like we're seeing all these, like, you know, Disney are in it right now. We're getting it with movies. Everything's getting remastered. Mm. You know, Marvel are going to start doing it soon, aren't they? Like it's just, we're in remastered hell right now, I feel like. And focus on creating, I know it's easier said than done, but focusing on creating something like fresh or new or like further DLCs, like I know saying, like if you're just, I completed Black Flag maybe three times. I don't want to play that story again. I know that story, even if it's got better graphics. Like I don't, I know the story. Like I'm just going to be, it's like playing it again on a slightly better console or something. I just, I'm just a bit anti it. And Hex, by the way, Johnny VR, not Hez, it's Hex. Assassin's Creed Hex is going to be amazing. And it's going to be a lot darker, grittier. Yeah, so I'm excited. If you can't tell.
With respect to Johnny VR, that may have been a typo from producer David. And also, I should have known that the game was called Hex, but I was too busy concentrating on making Johnny non-London-centric. So I literally Ron Burgundy'd the situation.
We had Valhalla, right? Which was like the one of the best Assassin's Creed games ever made. You know, you're a Viking.
No then one else Mirage. Has said that before, Barney, but sure.
Really? I thought Valhalla was a great game.
I played like, over 100 hours of Valhalla, but yeah. It was just the ending is a mess. But
yeah,
but,
totally agree with you there. And it's almost too big in some ways. Yes, like it's too big. They went massive. Mirage did the opposite, and I didn't really like Mirage. Then Shadows, you could play as two characters. And I think that was the biggest knockoff that people got annoyed about was people didn't want to play as two characters. I think that when you look at like reviews and stuff, a lot of the people said that playing as Yasuke, people didn't actually enjoy that much.
But do you think that's because Yasuke was basically the hack and slash and Naoe was the stealth and people want stealth in their AC games, right?
And I think that, you know, the scaling walls and all that kind of stuff as Naoe as well, like the movement mechanics were incredible. You know, when you're descaling a wall, you know, limescale. No, when you're descaling, she such flips and spins and backflips. I know, I'm such a dad. I think that they had a really good opportunity to make Shadows incredible. And I think it just fell short. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Hex. And I want to see what their first trailer is going to be like. I've been chomping at the bit for this one.
I can't wait to see them rename it Heze. Black Flag, it'll be interesting to see if it is a hit. I feel like it is filling that gap of, hey, there's no big AC release yet. And it is over a year since Shadows comes out, so let's remaster something so we make sure that we hit our annual release for AC.
I thought they said they're gonna stop doing the annual AC thing, and then just, they're still doing it.
Annual in general, like there's so much pressure on they rush it. Like, take your time. The game's amazing. Take your time.
I have to say the details, having maybe I've just been indoctrinated, but going to the British Museum and just seeing the event that Assassin's Creed Ubisoft did recently with the British Museum, their summer exhibition, just like seeing the renders up close and all the details, I was suddenly like, oh my gosh, I'm too harsh sometimes. Because I actually really enjoy Shadows. I still haven't finished it. I've now got it on Switch and there's crossplay, so I can actually try and take it on the go with me. But like the level of detail and thought that has gone into, you know, all the 30 something layers of each armor set that you see is actually incredible. And suddenly I came away from that going, I'm an awful person. And like, actually the amount of love and detail that goes into that game is incredible. So actually, you know what, if we get remasters, you know, so that there's new games every 2 years rather than every year, I actually kind of on board with it, because if it means less resource and less people having to crunch on behalf of Ubisoft, I'm actually like, okay, I'm okay with that, because it literally takes me 2 years to finish an AC game anyway.
So, yeah. It's like I said earlier, we're spoiled, man. We are. As gamers, we're spoiled. We have so much choice. Remake Aladdin. There you go.
Oh my gosh.
A remake of the Aladdin game.
One of the hardest games of all time. Let's remake it. So let's head back to the BBC. I feel like it's a running thing with the podcast. And we've got to respect our auntie, Beeb. So power washing, pool cleaning and mowing. Why are millions playing games about mundane jobs? This is an article that was published on the BBC website. And there are loads of games at the moment that are doing really, really well where you don't actually have to do much. There's no massive adventure, no grand story, no one to assassinate. You just got a mundane task to do and you complete the level when you've done it. So why are they so popular? Like, why do I have to mow lawns to call myself a gamer now? I know.
Stefan loves his mowing games.
Of course he probably does. He's mowing right now.
Yeah. I think it's like
that's why he moved back to Cardiff.
It's like a busman's holiday thing. I think it's like a it's all because all those popular games that with all the mundane elements, they're all things that most people probably do as an adult, like house flipping, mowing this, like unpacking, for example. Like, I really love that game, but because I've moved house so many times, and so playing a game about unpacking, I was like, yeah, it's like a busman's holiday thing, and I do like the little like nuggets of story that come out of those games, particularly with like unpacking. You learn about the character by unpacking their things, where you unpack their things, where you can't unpack their things. Like, I don't want to spoil the game, but like it's like you start filling in little details about the person, mainly because of what you're just doing, mundane things of putting socks in drawers.
I think that's cheating. I know. I don't think that counts as one of these games because there is a narrative behind it. I loved unpacking. SpongeBob SquarePants edition of Power Wash Simulator, however, I did not understand what the narrative was there, Barney.
We got it sorted out.
I'd rather the Krabby Patty stay crappy. I literally could not finish the level. I was like, what spec am I missing? I am never playing this game again. I just really resent some of these games. I like order. That's probably why I like AC, because it gives me a to-do list. But I just can't be doing with mowing and power washing. But what about you, Barney? What's the appeal in these games, do you think?
I think at its purest form, like gaming at its core is escapism. So I think it's just a way of switching off. Many of us watch films or play games to just like escape any kind of mundane world that we also live in. We want to get transported to an alternate reality, but in this case you jet wash someone else's house, and I think that there's like an OCD element to it as well, that you get every speck, and I think people like that as well, like especially people that a lot of people that play video games as well are completionists, like we've said that Inel loves to play games at the hardest mode, hardest difficulty, complete it so that you effectively are the best at the game. And, I jet washed my patio for real a couple of weeks ago, and it was very satisfying. So doing it in game form. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
In game form, I don't know. People just don't want to get their hands dirty.
You know what, Frankie? I reckon once we get proper AR glasses, because I know there are AR glasses now. When we get
creepy
proper
people,
ones
yes.
that say, right, here's your objective, how to clean the house, and then you get little ticks when you start cleaning the house.
Yeah,
I think more people
chores.
Would love doing their chores, mainly just for doing that. Yeah, get the gamification of it is what people love.
You gamify it and you get rewards, so like unlock stuff
that.
While you go.
But like when you're doing it in your house and you're trying to like get the skirting board, ain't nobody saying thank you.
This is genius because this is a bit like in the 60s when computer coding used to be seen as a woman's work, and then the men realized it could be creative, and so they took it. So in other words, I know what you're saying is just buy men AR glasses, and suddenly like the balance of cleaning and those drawers, it's going to be solved. Oh my gosh.
Listen, Mr. Muscle just needs some new glasses. That's it.
Yes! I'm right. Brilliant. Honestly, this is what this podcast has given the world, like a solution to patriarchal ideas of chores. What mundane task would you like to see in a game next, Barney?
Mate, if I throw it back to our previous episode, like, does Crazy Taxi fall into this? Like, you're driving around and you're a taxi driver. Is this a mundane task as well?
Well,
is this
but that already exists,
a job?
Though. This already
it does
exist.
Already exist. I know. One that I would see, I reckon there are people out there that would want to cut fingernails and cut toenails.
Oh, pedis and manis.
Pimple popping games.
Like, yeah, pimple popping, grooming. Like manis and pedis, like grooming, beauty therapy. Huh. I feel like people would do that.
Interesting ASMR element.
Yeah,
exactly. You can shave your face with an electric razor.
Yeah.
Like, probably
we just
something
need
like that.
Some experience points when we do it. If we got that, everybody
would
be look
so
trimmed,
head to toe.
Oh my God. Phage simulator.
Yeah. Imagine like you're in the gym and you're bench pressing and you get past 8 reps and it goes doo-doo, and it gives you like an extra
That's
one.
All we need.
There you go.
Is there actually a barbershop? Is there a barbershop simulator game? Because I know like that's a place where a lot of conversations take place late into the night. That could be an incredible game. Could and that be. Would have the narrative elements that you love, I know.
Yeah, it would, but I don't think there's any kind of mainstream ones or any that's like kind of broke into the zeitgeist. I'm pretty certain there is like small indie devs have probably done stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that could be a barbershop simulator, or what about a dog grooming parlor?
Exactly. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I feel like in the beauty world, that could easily be a hit.
Yeah.
You know, so waxing your legs. Got to get all the legs.
Yeah.
I don't do that, by the way. I'm just saying.
I mean, there's no judgment
no shame,
if you do.
Bro. No
yeah,
shame.
Nothing's wrong with being
smooth.
That looks
way too painful. Oh my goodness, that looks painful.
Producer David said, I'd make a laundry sorting simulator where you have to pair socks, fold clothes and put them back in the drawer. You actually do folding clothes in a game called Consume Me, which came out last year, which actually is very satisfying.
See, there was a game that came out a couple years ago where you ran a laundromat, but like a little arcade in the laundromat. So like you had to maintain the arcades in the back, but then you also had to do the laundry. I try to remember the name of it. Oh,
you've played some games, my friend. You have played some games. Wow.
So well, we're going to get that made. We're going to get them all made. Let's set up our own game studio. We'll call it 23 Tins and we're away.
Tins.
Bunny, it is time for a review and it's time to ask you what you've been playing.
Ooh, well, I think that as of late, we talked about this a little bit, didn't we, Frankie? Like being parents, time is limited. And I think that you kind of harken back to your comfort games when you want to just get on a game and enjoy it and you know you can play it all right. So Call of Duty has been a game that I've kind of grown up with. Black Ops 1 right the way through, and we're now on Black Ops 7, not to mention all the Modern Warfare games in between as well. It's a comfort for me and my friends. A couple of my friends still play it, so we still regularly play, you know, I'd say at least 3 days a week.
Do you know what, Bunny? I always remember the title screen for Black Ops 1 when you're sitting in the chair.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and you could get up and move around. When someone figured out you could get up and move around, that was insane.
Oh.
At that uni. Oh, my goodness. Like, so good. I think that it's an interesting one because Call of Duty has been a bit here, there and everywhere. We were going through this movement progression. There's me talking about movement again. This movement progression, and we got to Black Ops 3 where jetpacks were involved and running on walls and abilities. And then suddenly we went to the next iteration of the game and they stripped everything back to World War II. And that's where they lost me for a year. And I was like, we were making such progression. The competitive side of Call of Duty was, you know, there was verticality suddenly in the game and people were flying through the air and the kind of the abilities were adding a new layer to the competitive nature of the game as well. And then it all just kind of collapsed on itself. And I was like, oh no, like we were doing so well. I think they were getting some pushback on it. Okay, but yeah.
Wasn't there wall running as well?
Yeah, wall running. Yeah. That was in there as well. And you know, whether you're a lover of it or a hater of it, I think that when it then got stripped back to its bare bones, you know, that divided the community once again. Black Ops 7 that's out right now, my biggest, I'd say, issue with it right now is just that there's so much going on. The amount of content they're having to push out is pretty wild. You're essentially getting 4 games in one from the development team now. You know, we're getting a battle royale, we're getting zombies, we're getting a campaign, we're getting multiplayer, there's ranked. We're getting so much, again, we're pretty spoiled in this regard, that quality control is starting to creep in, or lack of, and I'm just worried about the future of the game, with it being a comfort game of mine and me and my friends still love it, that I don't want them to commit too much to too many things. I think, you know, with it being zombies being a part of Black Ops is great. And I think that the Battle Royale development team are a completely separate team. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But I think that it's still in a good place. The community is wild, as you can imagine. It always has been. And, you know, as a game itself, I think mechanically it plays really well. But it's, if you look at, I actually played Black Ops 3 the other day, and I could not believe how slow it felt. So the pacing of the games are increasing every single year as well. So I don't know. There's a lot of pros and a lot of cons that are swimming around in my mind right now.
Do you think Black Ops 7 is too fast then, buddy? Because it is lightning quick. But it's, the things I'll say for it is, in previous iterations, sometimes of Call of Duty, you're playing multiplayer, you spawn and you are killed instantly because maps like Shipping are so small. Yeah. Whereas I found playing Black Ops 7, despite the pace, I can actually survive for a little bit to actually shoot my gun.
Yeah, I think that the pacing is, I mean, I guess that the pacing is increasing every time because people are just getting better. People are getting better at the game. And so they need ways to kind of create a skill gap. And I think that, you know, you hop online on ranked and, you know, 12-year-olds are just absolutely decimating everyone. Not that they should be playing the game because it's PEGI rated. But, you know, I think that the game needs to improve. Every iteration of the game needs to improve in some way, shape or form, whether it's making the gun skill level higher or whether it's making the movement faster or making a more dynamic range of movement, like sliding, diving, jumping. Wall bouncing is now something that we've got. We can jump off walls. So getting into buildings is quicker and easier. So I think that they feel that's a necessity. I think I agree, if I'm being honest. However, it leaves the people that are in their mid-30s who can't play for 8 hours a day on the struggle bus a little bit.
I know. Are you on the struggle bus when it comes to Black Ops 7?
I've been on the struggle bus for a long time with Call of Duty. But like, I think the issue it has is Call of Duty is a platform now. It's not a game. And I think that hurts them trying to do anything different because it has to always tie back to Call of Duty as a platform. You have to, like, whenever your new Call of Duty comes out, you have to have the Call of Duty main game in order to spawn off that. Like, I always hate it. Every time a new Call of Duty comes out, I have to download the main Call of Duty thing launcher before I can go into the game that I just purchased. And it's like, every time. And I think it's the same issue that, like, Battlefield is starting to have, where they have so many different unique modes where people just love playing that one thing, but they all have to kind of join up and kind of like complement each other. And it stops Call of Duty from being anything different. Like, when they want to branch off or try something new, like Black Ops did with, like, the campaign, like, everyone's like, this isn't Call of Duty, because it's tied in to the multiplayer and it's tied into all the other modes and the zombies and things. And so it's like, it's too different from everything else. And so I think it just needs to break away. And obviously they tried to do that with going back to, like, World War II, but it was still in the same launcher as all the other stuff. And so it was like, it feels like another mold. And so it's like, it needs to just do its own thing, go completely off the wall, cel-shaded graphics, like, completely change up the formula and, like, for it to kind of see some success elsewhere. Yeah. And then I think it just needs to deviate. But, like, they're never going to do that because they make too much money for it being all one cohesive platform.
I would really like it to load up properly when I open it on PC, because sometimes the game will not actually work. I think there's so many patches, it just breaks the game and you have to uninstall it and reinstall it a couple of times sometimes for it to work. But I was playing this game the other day because I went and hosted CDL, so Call of Duty League in Birmingham. And the Brits should get more events because they are wild, and all but one were very well behaved and loud, but very, like, good natured, I have to say. But trying to play the game was much fun once I got in, much more fun than I was expecting. And I was really, like, feeling myself in the lobby. I was just like, oh my God, I'm amazing. And then opened the scoreboard at the end of, like, one of my games and I was second bottom. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was, like, slaying. I was fragging out. I couldn't believe myself. And I realized, I wasn't spending any time on the objective at all. I am not an objective player. I'm just going to shoot people. So I think I might need a little bit more time with this game. But the Metacritic score was 65, which actually I felt is quite low for a game that, when it does play, plays really nicely. Barney, would you agree with that score?
No, I think it deserves to be a bit higher. I mean, you've got to remember that this game is serving fan bases that are dissected in every which way. Like you just said, you've got the competitive side, you've got the, you know, the standard multiplayer side, you've got the Warzone guys, the zombie guys. And I think that they're doing a really good job with all of those pockets. It just feels like it's so much to deal with. I can't imagine how big their development team are.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. Easily thousands. But I just want them to do something different with it. I think that's what it is. Because they can afford to do something different. Because like the last like first person like team based shooter that I felt was generally felt new was the finals. I've spoken about it before, and like every time I play the finals, it feels unique. Every match feels different because like any building can come down in any wall, any ceiling, and like it makes the tactics much more playful because you don't know who you're up against. If you're up against like a whole room of like heavy people, they could destroy every wall and ceiling, so you can't hide. And so like it's stuff like that makes it like the games feel unique and like different every time. Whereas I've always felt with Call of Duty, like once people establish like the meta, if you're not playing that the type of meta, then you're getting destroyed. It's game over. You can't win.
So would you recommend it, Barney? Buy now, wait till it's on sale, play on Xbox Game Pass, don't bother. What would you suggest?
Yeah, I'd say buy now. I mean, Call of Duty has it's got its audience, right? So I'll always buy it. And I think that, you know, you have your, like we've just mentioned with Inel, right? You have your options of first person shooters. There is no limit to the amount of first person shooters that are out there. So if COD's for you, if it's not for you, you might be Battlefield, you might be Finals, you might be Marathon, there are so many to choose from. So you got your pick of the litter. My pick is probably COD. So yeah, I'll be getting it.
Well, let's return to the Discord. Ev says, big Game Pass pricing U-turn. Oh, I haven't done the accent. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, go in.
Go on.
Okay.
Dive in.
Big Game Price. I can't do it. I'm so sorry.
I don't know what you were attempting. Where are we going?
Big Game Pass pricing U-turn. Removing Call of Duty seems a pretty clear admission that the whole Activision deal hasn't worked out, though. What do you think? I know.
Oh, it definitely didn't work out. 100% it didn't work out. Like, it was a mess. Like, it was years of, like, being purchased, and then in the end, it was just, like, petered out and, like...
Yeah.
But, like... Them U-turning is fine. Like if something doesn't work, change it. Like, I don't mind that. I don't mind when companies admit, oh, yeah, something didn't work. We tried this thing, it didn't work, and we're changing it. Like, I don't mind that. Especially, like, with the U-turn they did with the Game Pass pricing. They say, listen, it was too expensive. Don't know what we were thinking. We're changing it. Yeah. That's fine. Cool. As long as it, like, the consumer can benefit, I'm down for that. And them, like, I don't think the Call of Duty on Game Pass was ever going to work. Personally, I just didn't see it. Like, a lot of people, they like Call of Duty, but like most of my friends who are Call of Duty players, that's what they play. Call of Duty is their game. That like they don't have like huge collections of games where they got lots to choose from. They come home, they play Call of Duty. That's them. They're cool. And so then for them, they were never gonna get Game Pass and play all these other games because they don't want it. And that's fine. But like, I never saw it as being a thing where, oh, all of a sudden the Game Pass number is going to get boosted. I was like, nah, it's going to be the same amount of people.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. We've got another big question. Some would say podcasts are full of them, but this is one of the biggest questions at all, because this is the big question from today's show. And our producers have been scheming behind our backs as always while the show's been going on to come up with a question for us to answer based on what we talked about. So here we go. You found yourself as the head of a games production company. The bigwigs upstairs want a guaranteed banker that would do well, so have turned to you to pick a game to remaster. The 20-year time limit cap has just passed for games that came out in 2006. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess is available, but do you take inspiration from it? Which early 2000s game will you remake, but flipped horizontally? What do you think, Barney? Which game are you flipping horizontally?
Which game? Oh, what? Are you actually flipping it horizontally?
Yeah. 2000s game you're going to remake, but flipped horizontally. That's very specific.
I was going to, you know, I've done it and said it multiple times. just remake Aladdin. Let's do it.
That's 1993, mate.
I know. Am I
not
allowed to agree?
This is not 2000s.
But it's the 20-year time cap, so I can go after 20 years, can I not?
Which early 2000s game will you remake but flipped horizontally? The clue is in the question. It's got to be early 2000s.
Oh, she's being strict.
I'm being strict, early 2000s. Mm. I mean, I'm...
So I think Crazy Xbox Taxi? 360. I think PlayStation
Crazy
2.
Taxi,
PS2, yeah.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi. I think that would technically count, early 2000s, even though it would have come out, what, 99 on the Dreamcast?
Yeah, it was 99 on Dreamcast, yeah. I mean, I can't think of any early 2000s games that I...
I like it though, flipped horizontally, you'd be driving on a different side of the road. So actually, Barney, I think that's a good answer. I'm satisfied. I'll move on to why now.
Yes!
I was thinking, I was also thinking race. I was thinking Burnout, Takedown, Burnout 3. Like, because I know the levels so well, but like flip them, make them all mirrored and stuff, that'd be nice. Or failing that, something like a Virtual Cop or House of the Dead. Well, those arcade games where you know where the enemies are going to come from, flip it up a bit, flip the script. Now the zombies that side.
I actually played a brief bit of House of the Dead and Time Crisis 2. Sorry, Steph, if you're listening. Yesterday at Four Quarters Arcade at London Bridge. And I was just briefly, I didn't have much time. I was pizza in one hand, light gun in the other, play House of the Dead. I was like, oh my God, I'm amazing at this. Reload, come back on screen, like new wave of enemies come in. I aim, I shoot, I literally get one shot to the head and it's a civilian, instant continue screen.
So you were showing off too much.
I was
like, you taking bites as well,
mate. There's photographic evidence of this. I think those are both good shouts. Tetris doesn't count. I actually don't know. From, you know what, Dance Dance Revolution,
one of the best games of all time that came out in 2000 is SSX.
There you go.
But then flipping it won't do anything. Yeah, it won't do anything.
It's the same pretty much with all our games, except driving on a different side of the road, enemies coming from the other side of the screen. But I'm impressed. I like those. Discord, let us know what you think as well. What do you think of these games and what would you suggest? Because right now we've got to go on to our trivia answer. It's time to reveal the answer to this week's tricky question. And we've just been discussing it. Why was the game Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess flipped horizontally when it was ported from the GameCube to the Wii? And I now was saying...
Yeah, I think it's because the Wii remotes and people, how they hold them, so they switched it round so Link was holding it in the other hand.
Yeah, so because in the GameCube, Link was left-handed. You're right. Developers thought it was counterintuitive to have players waving the Wii remote in their right hand for a character that would wield a sword in their left hand. So the easiest way to fix it was to flip the screen horizontally to make Link right-handed instead, which is annoying because, like, I'm left-handed, okay? I really enjoyed having that representation, okay? It was a lonely childhood being left-handed.
The representation.
To be fair, though, writing a game guide for that would have been horrible. Like, if you're trying to write a game guide and then you take the left turn. No, wait, you take the right turn.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a hand to the right. So thank you, Einel, because you were right, and we piggybacked on you.
That's
like the Papa Bear that you are. We've all got up the leaderboard.
Let's go. Points on the board. We're not 16th.
Thank you, Medium Bear. So Barney, you've gone up to 11th. I am up to 8th, and you have got back into the top 5. Congratulations, you're now 4th.
That's what I'm talking about. Now I need to get into the top 3.
Top
that's
five.
What I'm going for now. I'm going for top
you're
going to
take Stefan down if it's the last thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for all of us for you to get this justice and take your place in second position because Keza is never coming off that top spot.
No.
So, Barney, thank you ever so much for this episode of the Continue Club. Do let us know your thoughts in the Discord, but that is it for Press X to Continue today. Don't forget to get involved by messaging us also on Press X Pod. We're on TikTok and Instagram. We'll be back on Tuesday for some more fun.
Ooh, and well done to you as well, Frankie.
Well done, Frankie. Smashed
thank
it.
Thank you so much. Continue Club. We'll see you guys next time. Probably not me, though, because I don't think I'm ever going to be invited on this podcast ever again. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeet.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.